Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Glad you're here. And wow, it's always good to have a holiday weekend. In fact, that might be a reason to give thanks as well. And we are thankful for the legend of the Pilgrims for giving us this holiday weekend. As that legend goes, Pilgrims came to the New World. It was hard living, harsh living, and in the midst of that, they survived. And so the story goes, consequently, they wanted to gather to give thanks. This was back in the day when men had to hunt for their meat and women had to dig the potatoes out of the ground. Life was hard. Grandma wanted to inspire her grandchildren a little with trying to illustrate where her children came from. And so she showed them this famous painting, Pilgrims Coming to Church. She said to them, "See, those pilgrim children, they liked to go to church with their mothers and their fathers." One of her grandsons piped up, said, "Oh, yeah? Then why are the fathers carrying rifles?" So I'd like us to think about our thankfulness, because just maybe when we forget to make thankfulness a way of life, when it's just a matter of coming to church on Thanksgiving Day, then just maybe thinking about it only once a year, we're like that family trailing ahead of a rifle. And it's just a matter of, we better give thanks. So what is it that motivates us to give thanks? I want us to think about that this morning. What do thankful people look like? What does a thankful church look like? What does it mean to live in thankfulness? Not just on a holiday, not just on a holiday weekend, but what does it mean to shape our lives around thankfulness? There's a couple of dangers that we fall into when we try to shape our life around thankfulness. And the one is simply that our thankfulness becomes too general. It's just a kind of a general Thanksgiving. And we hear about it a lot. People say, "Oh yeah, you should just be thankful, thankful." And we're thankful because, well, we have so much. Or we're thankful, but just in sort of a general sort of way, and we're not even sure to whom we are thankful. Or we're thankful just because it's a holiday. So we read a passage as in 1 John 3. It's up on the screen, or you can follow along. We read a passage like this. In 1 John chapter 3, John is trying to instruct the Christians, those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ, to live contented lives. And we read a passage like this. "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands us." But perhaps that passage sounds a little strange at Thanksgiving, because we're aware today that maybe that just sounds more like greed than it does sound like gratefulness. To ask God for whatever we want and he'll give it to us, that's probably not a heart that's shaped around thankfulness. And yet that kind of thankfulness, to think that it's just a matter of asking God for stuff and he'll give it to you, that kind of thankfulness betrays when it's too general. Thankfulness that's born more out of selfishness than out of a grateful heart. So, let's back up to verse 1 of chapter 3 to give thankfulness a better focus. The beginning of this chapter, this is one of my favorite verses, John says this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us." See what great love the Father has lavished on us, just poured it out on us, that we should be called children of God. Undeserved or not, we are called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. In that context of enormous love that the Father has lavished on you, then when John speaks about receiving anything we ask of God, he isn't talking about asking God and presto, you've got it. Because God is not Walmart. God's not just a shopping center where we can just grab whatever we need and want. Nor is John talking about that if you're good, God will give you what you want. Because God is not Santa Claus either. John's encouraging us to focus our thanksgiving on a relationship. How great the love of the Father that he's lavished upon you and me. Thankfulness born out of a relationship, born from the Father pouring out all kinds of love upon us. We receive amazing love from the great almighty maker of heaven and earth. The God of the universe. The God who's got a whole universe to manage. Pours out his love upon you. I want us to marvel at that. Because that is our inspiration for thankfulness. A love that knows what we need to live and to flourish. A love that cares for us with daily provision. A love that surrounds us and sustains us. John isn't teaching us how to get stuff from God. John's encouraging us to live more fully in a childlike relationship with our Father in heaven. And consequently, he gives what we need. Now you might be thinking, oh yeah, I can think of a lot of instances where God doesn't provide. I mean, we just gave to World Renew, who goes into places where people simply don't have what they need to survive. So what does thankfulness look like, born out of relationship? Mother Teresa once wrote about a story in which she and several others picked up four people from the street in Calcutta. These four particular people needed special attention and an enormous amount of care. Their situations were desperate. One of those four people was a little girl in very poor condition, and Mother Teresa offered to care for her specifically. She writes, "I did for her all that my love could do. I put her in bed, And there was such a beautiful smile on her face. This little girl, she took hold of my hand and she said two words. Thank you. And then she died. The girl received nothing. In fact, her life was taken from her. And yet she said, thank you. Because at the heart of thankfulness is a relationship. How great the love the Father has lavished upon you. And in that relationship, we grow our thankfulness. So sometimes our thankfulness gets too general, and we don't even pay particular attention to whom we are giving thanks. And we just have this sort of general attitude because we've already got so much. On the other hand, sometimes our thankfulness is too narrow. That is, too narrow-minded. When we limit our thanksgiving to the things that we get, our thanksgiving is too narrow. When we focus on thanks for stuff, for things, we receive it. It's too narrow-minded. And then our lives still rely so heavily on things, on stuff. We say we're thankful for our food because we want more food. We say we're thankful for our house because we want a nice house. We say we're thankful for our family because we want a nice, cozy family. Narrow-minded thanksgiving goes like this. We accumulate all kinds of stuff, and we thank God for those things because we feel like we've paid God back by giving thanks. And then the end result is we still only lean absolutely on stuff rather than on God. It isn't really thanksgiving then, so much as it is settling a debt, fulfilling an obligation, walking in front of a rifle on the way to church. Maybe you remember the movie Cool Runnings. Remember that movie? It was fun to watch. But in that movie, the coach is played by John Candy, right? And it's about the infamous Jamaican bobsled team, which is just a stark contrast, right? Jamaica and frozen ice. So, there it is. So the coach gathers these Jamaicans, and they're wondering why this guy would even bother with them, right? And they finally get the story out of the coach that in fact he had been a former gold medal winner of bobsledding. And then he had tried a second time for gold. But that second time he tried for it illegally by weighting his sled. And then he was discovered, and then he was disqualified, and now he was disgraced. But to the Jamaicans, that didn't make any sense. Why would a gold medalist bother to cheat? That doesn't even make any sense. You're the best in the world, and then you have to cheat for it. And so they ask him, why? Why'd you do that? The coach says, because I had to win. And then he added, I learned something. If you're not happy without a gold medal, you're not going to be happy with a gold medal. And the same thing goes for our thanksgiving. if you aren't thankful without stuff, then you won't be thankful with it. In other words, if Thanksgiving focuses on things that we get, things that we have, our thankfulness isn't going to stick. Our thankfulness isn't going to lead into a contented life. The moment we're done thanksgiving, if our thanksgiving is too narrow-minded, the moment we're done, we're going to cast our minds and our focus and our living upon heading out to the stores to get more stuff. So sometimes our thanksgiving is too general. And sometimes our thanksgiving is too narrow-minded. Now, it's not a matter of just coming to the middle and having a kind of lukewarm kind of thanksgiving. It's a matter of placing our thanksgiving on a completely different level. Let's call it great love thanksgiving. Great love thanksgiving. The love that the Father has lavished on us. That kind of thanksgiving. The thanksgiving that is a response to what God has lavished upon us. So Mark Tidd tells this story. Pastor Mark Tidd tells a story of when he was growing up, and they had a neighbor who would always come to the door with lousy-looking vegetables trying to sell them. And they were always suspicious of him because, well, they didn't know him. He was, he looked pretty in bad shape. He was disheveled. He had always these glassy-looking eyes that made them wonder, oh, who is this guy and what's he on and all this kind of stuff. He would come to the door selling these, and they would just kind of, you know, oh, thank you, but no thanks, and push him away. But he would keep coming. And gradually, the Tidd family got to know this man. His name was Mr. Roth. And Mr. Roth then began visiting the family, and he would sit around, and he would play old gospel tunes on his harmonica, and he would start talking about vegetables and religion. And then on one visit, as the family got to know him and saw some of his needs and thought they could do nice things for him, one day Mr. Roth came over and he told the family about having found a bag full of shoes and clothing just that morning. And the family was kind of looking a little embarrassed, and they were like, where do we look? Because they actually had deposited that bag there. And then Mr. Roth said, and you know what the amazing thing is, he said, just yesterday, I met someone who could use that bag full of shoes and clothing. I think that is something like the kind of thankfulness that stretches past narrow-mindedness towards a relationship with God. Towards trusting God rather than merely the gifts of God. Narrow-minded thanksgiving holds on tightly to the things that we've received. Great love thanksgiving has a rhythm to it. A rhythm of gratitude for a gift received that turns into a gift given. That's why we invited you to bring food. That's why we invite you to offer thanks every time we meet here together. It's an act of worship. It's not just a payback. It's an act of worship, of gratefully giving thanks to God for what he's done for us, for the great love that he's poured out upon our lives. Great love thanksgiving, though, grows out of a relationship with God, and it stretches beyond that mere obligation of general thanks. We can give thanks for more than things of substance. Great love thanks grows towards knowing God, knowing His presence, aware of His guidance, attentive to His whisper, grateful for His love. It's not weird. It's not trivial. That's not to be lightly passed by. That's an awareness of God in our world, in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, the one who lavishes His love upon us. And in that kind of relationship, let's grow our thankfulness and let it spread, not just today, but every moment of our lives. Let's give thanks and pray to God. Father, our minds are on thankfulness. We can't help it. It's all around us, all of the images and all of the food and all of the anticipation of just gathering around with family and a lot of food. Perhaps even for lunch today, or maybe tomorrow. And so God, in the midst of all of that, sharpen our minds and our hearts and remind us of Your great love for us. And so inspire us, Father, to not only give thanks out of Your love for us today, but to shape our lives around that, so that even as we have sung Your praises today, that this week we'll be mindful of the ways that we can give praise to You yet again, whether it's in our routines, whether it's in the mundane task of doing the dishes, or whether it's in a relationship that is filled with tension, or whether it's a difficult decision we have. Father, in all of those contexts, shape our hearts and our minds to give praise and thanks to You. And let that shape our approach to the things we face, to the stuff we have, to the relationships we are in. And may it all be praise and honor and glory to You, for You are great. And Your love, You have poured it upon us. And we are grateful. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.